In Philadelphia, a trial begins today in federal court over free speech and online pornography. Civil liberties and library groups are challenging a federal law that they say is the latest attempt to censor the internet. The Children's Internet Protection Act requires many libraries and schools to use filtering software that blocks material considered harmful to minors. Many librarians oppose the use of filters. They say their job is to provide information, not to censor constitutionally protected speech. NPR's Larry Abramson visited two libraries that have taken different approaches to the issue.
In the Princeton, New Jersey Public Library, computers live side by side with books. And like the books, the internet access is unexpurgated.
Yeah, we are a library that does not restrict access to the internet or any of the resources on the internet in any way. We're a non-filtering library.
Leslie Berger is the library's director. She proudly surveys a pretty noisy scene that the traditional shushing librarians of old would never have tolerated. Kids come here, she says, because they have pretty much the same rights here as adults.
Which means that they can pretty much surf the internet and get to any site they want. We also allow the kids to come here after school and play games. We allow them to participate in chats. We allow them to do instant messaging. So all the stuff that a kid might do at their home computer, they're allowed to do here.
Like many libraries, Princeton's is a community crossroads where all manner of business is taken care of. One woman fills out a property tax form. Another reads a Chinese newspaper. A couple of teenagers read a collection of satire from The Onion. The spirit of free inquiry means that, inevitably, some patrons explore the subject of human sexuality on library computers. But librarian Janie Herman says it's just not that big of a problem.
It does happen on occasion, but it's very rare. And in those instances, actually, just us walking by the computer is usually enough to stop anybody. But even that is fairly rare that that has to happen. Having the computers out and visible in our eyesight is usually quite enough to deter anybody from doing that anyhow.
Librarians around the country say the same thing. They don't mind doing a little community policing, but they do mind that the government has decided to get involved. The new law would force any library that gets federal funds to use software that automatically blocks objectionable sites. Leslie Berger says this just isn't something that requires federal intervention.
It isn't. And the idea of the federal government or state government or whatever unit of government it might be legislating policy that says you must do this kind of implies that communities are not able to really assess what their own situation is and make a decision based on the local level.
Berger says that in a place like Princeton, the community would frown if she decided to screen internet sites. An editorial in the local paper backed her up when she announced her plan not to filter. But over in the kids' area, at least one Princetonian thinks a little censorship wouldn't hurt. Scott Harmon, an internet consultant, is looking for kids' books while his toddler daughter tugs on his jeans.
It's a publicly funded environment. It's not unreasonable to expect that if public sensibilities are offended by what people might be using, that restrictions could be placed on the type of media or whatever else that people are watching the library.
Many librarians share that sentiment. Oh. 90 miles west of Princeton in Allentown, Pennsylvania, community standards and the librarian's own ethics have led to a different decision. Surf beyond the bounds of propriety here and you get this warning.
Requested page is unavailable. The site you requested is in a category that is blocked under your organization's filtering policy. And it says that the site is categorized by N2H2 as adults only in pornography.
Librarian Kathy Nice helped choose the software made by filtering company N2H2. She speaks with the same passion about her mission as her colleagues in Princeton do. Nice says that to fulfill that mission, the library offered unfiltered, wide-open internet access early on, and right away, the librarian said things got out of hand.
We had staff who got to the point where they were feeling that people should be able to go into anything that they wanted to, coming to us and saying, you know, there's just too much of this. You know, we really think we're going to have to do some filtering here. So we did.
And they never looked back, according to library director Catherine Stefanoff. A self-assured woman with her share of opinions, Stefanoff says she was once a lone voice defending the use of filters, but not anymore. She says she has little patience with the argument that librarians don't have any business selecting information.
If you don't mind my saying so, those are the people who think with their entrails instead of their brains, and I will take them on anytime. The librarians who say, oh, occasionally, and we deal with it, I have to suspect that many of them deal with it by ignoring it.
The groups challenging this law have pointed to the flaws in filtering software, the fact that these programs often block material that's simply controversial, information about sex, discussions of violence or racism. But Stefanoff says the software used by her library is more sophisticated.
And if you want to complain, there's a screen that you go to, and it says, list your complaint, and when we have verified it, we'll deal with it. And how long have we had the system? 4 years, 5 years. No one has ever filled out that screen.
As much as Stefanoff supports the filter she uses, she's not sure there needs to be a requirement attached to federal funds. But supporters of this law say it's designed to enhance local control over this issue, not take it away. Bruce Taylor of the National Law Center for Children and Families has fought for this and other efforts to clean up the internet.
One of the interesting things about this bill is that it asks libraries and schools to use the filter to block whatever they think the images would fit within the state's or federal definition of obscenity or child pornography. So if a library thinks that a certain kind of material would be obscene, that's all they have to tell their filter company to try to filter.
Anti-pornography crusaders like Bruce Taylor have tried twice before to attack porn online. The first law was struck down by the Supreme Court because it tried to ban all indecent content from the internet. The second only tries to keep minors away from objectionable material. It's been on hold as civil liberties groups mount another First Amendment challenge. The Children's Internet Protection Act is the narrowest attempt so far. If this effort can't survive the court challenge that opens this week, it's not clear that anything will. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Allentown, Pennsylvania.